Good morning. Tell you guys a little story about why I'm up here. Brother Josh got a hold of me Friday evening. I was sitting in the bleachers at York University watching Devin's home opener, and he said he wasn't feeling well, having stomach issues. So I said, okay, well, just let me know, let me know by tomorrow what's going on. And so he got a hold of me late yesterday morning, said he was feeling better, so I didn't think about it anymore. And then this morning, a little after 8 o'clock, just finished my coffee, getting ready to get in the shower, and Josh called me. He's not feeling good. So, in my profession, this is where you roll in the TV cart and put the video in the VCR and do that, right? These guys over here have no idea what I'm talking about, the TV cart, but yeah. So, what we're going to do is, there's a handful of preachers in here. You guys know what you tend to preach on is what's been on your mind. And some of you are aware, my grandfather passed away recently, and I did the funeral service on Tuesday. And so what's really been on my mind a lot over this last week is our hope of heaven. That's really, really been deeply on my mind. We're just going to talk about some thoughts about that. If you would turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we're going to start. We'll do a fairly lengthy reading with this, just to kind of give some context. But 2 Corinthians 4, we'll read verses 7 through 5:1. The Apostle Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now I know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." This passage of Scripture is pretty amazing. And verse 7, when Paul says that we have this treasure in jars of clay, that treasure we have, jars of clay are our body, these fragile bodies that we have. And the treasure we have is our hope through Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thing that God's given us, is this hope that we have in Christ. Because these following verses say no matter what's happening in this life, We always have that promise that our sins will be forgiven and we'll be with our Father in heaven. Now verses 8 and 9, verse 17, if you go down to chapter 5, verse 2 even, see, life can be hard. And sometimes it can be full of suffering. I'll give you an example from my grandpa. He was an incredibly hard worker, worked manual labor jobs his whole life, a very, very hardworking man. And in his late 50s, he started having different health problems, not because of anything that he had done bad, just his body was wearing out. Multiple joint replacements and things like that. Like after he had his shoulder, he had something done with his shoulder, and he had a surgery there, and he never was quite able to use that arm right again, his hip, that sort of stuff. And his were a lot of physical problems. And in our lives, we may have those. Sometimes in our lives, we may have emotional problems. We may have medical problems. We may have financial problems, whatever it is. And there are a lot of hard things that can go on in life. But Paul says, in verse 17, our light and momentary troubles. And I promise you, some of the things I've had in my life, I know some of you've had in yours, don't seem very light and momentary, right? They seem hard. They seem tough. They're really going on. But that's why verse 18 is so important. Verse 18, Paul basically says, we got to keep our eye on the prize. Right? We have to keep our eye on the prize. We have to know what our reward is going to be. And that's why whenever we're going through whatever these things are, that's why we don't lose hope. That's why we don't lose our faith. Because that prize is eternity. For what is seen is temporary, so that's whatever it is we're going through. But what is unseen is eternal. That's that hope that we have in heaven. Jesus spoke of this as well. Let's look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is one of the most, in a lot of ways, most comforting passages in the Bible. That Jesus tells us that when our earthly life is over, He's prepared this place for us with Him. And that's what Paul's talking about. This is the prize that we keep our eye on. Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. Well, that's why we're people of faith. That's what it is, that when we believe in God, when we believe in Christ, we follow after them. This is what will happen. Jesus has prepared this place for us. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, he says that we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own. Well, that's what Jesus is saying, this is what I'm going to do. Paul is saying this is what He's done. So that when this life is over, when things are done here, that we have this hope, we have heaven, we'll be there with Him. Jesus has said, I guarantee that it will be there. I've prepared this place for you, and that's where you're going to go. And so when He says, do not let your hearts be troubled, we know Jesus is talking about, this is right before His death, and so this is going to be an incredibly hard time for them. He says, it's going to be okay, don't worry. And that's, in the end, it'll be fine. And so for us, too, whatever it is we're going through, we have that hope that in the end, we have that life with Jesus. And again, it's just, that's an incredibly comforting thing to know that. And it's also an inspiring thing to keep us focused, to keep us working, to keep us faithful, just to know that that's there, that's in the end. It's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then when we get there in the end, what exactly will that be like? Well, if you turn over to Revelation 21, we won't do all of Revelation 21, but when we look at that, John, in trying to describe, I feel like, what he's seen, because we know this is him, he's seeing a vision, he's trying to put into words what he sees based on what we know and what we see here in this earthly world. And John says in verses 3 and 4, and I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. In verse 3, I know often when people talk about heaven, we try to talk about how beautiful it is, and we'll jump over to the stuff later in the verse talking about all the jewels and the beauty and all that sort of thing, and that's absolutely amazing. But the thing that really kind of stuck with me as I was reading this again is that we'll be with God. We'll be with our Heavenly Father. I would like to say imagine that, but I don't know exactly how to imagine that. I really don't. I don't know. I mean, we're told of these of the beauty and all that's there. How, you know, in verse 4, the hard things of life will be over, and sometimes that can be tough to even comprehend. That all the things that are hard, all the things that are bad, all the things that are tough, all of that is going to be done. Is going to be over. But to be in God's presence, it's something that I don't. Again, I'd like to say, well, just imagine. I feel like we just don't. We know it's amazing. We know it would be awesome, awe-inspiring, all of that, and just beyond anything that we can even think of. And that is what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians. That's what Jesus was talking about in John. That's what we have waiting for us. And so when we're going through whatever it is, when we're going through any of the sufferings, any of the problems, whenever maybe we feel like, is this worth it to keep being a Christian? Is our faith wavering a little bit? Yes, it is. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we're trying to do. And it's just, I don't know. Again, in verse 3, when he says that, you know, he will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. We know that in the Old Testament, in Travis's class, he's talking about this, and in the Old Testament, when God was there with them, it was so almost overpowering, especially when God spoke to them. They said, Moses, we don't want that anymore. It's too much. But that God was there and he was with them. That's where we'll be. And in this beautiful, beautiful place with God, where all the bad things, all the mourning, all the crying, all the pain, all that'll be over. And it'll be an amazing, amazing experience. And the thing is, if you're like me, we've had a lot of great experiences in my life. I know many of you have too. But what happens with those? They come and they go, right? And this will be what we do forever. Is that's it. That'll be our existence. That's pretty amazing. And again, it's something that I think that it really gives us. That's our reason. Because again, although these are things we talk about at the end of someone's earthly life, these are the reasons that we're right here where we're at this morning. We love God. We know that He's given us this hope and this promise of eternal life. And so, with that, I just want to encourage everyone this week to think about that, to remember, you know, just as we're going through our day, that's our why. That's why we follow after God. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we're here today, is because God loves us. He's provided that promise for us, and we have that hope, and we know that he'll be faithful to his promise, and we'll be with him in heaven someday. We'll want to offer an invitation. If there's anyone here who straight away feels like you don't have that hope, or if there's anyone here that would like to put on Lord in baptism, we offer the opportunity to come forward while we stand, while we sing.